Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And Steve Kalaseski.
Hello, hello.
It is so good to have you on the program today.
Always good to be here. Always good.
That's kind of low energy. You always have
high energy.
Oh, my
goodness.
Is it just me? Or
you know, I did a couple backflips when I came in. I was doing a little gymnastics.
As tall as you are, that's pretty dangerous.
That is kind of dangerous.
That is pretty dangerous. So here we are. So many things are taking place. We've been talking. If you missed the earlier program, we're talking about wisdom moments. And you can catch it at VFNTV.com. But also talking about what's happening over with the prime minister in England. How they're saying, listen, we got to start standing up for the church. And if you missed the earlier program that we had some time back talking about Israel starting to say, listen, you know, the Jewish World Congress, I believe it is, and we have them on the VFN Torch. You could watch this take place. You want to see history take place?
Mm-hmm.
He says this. He says, you stood with us. This is what he said. You stood with us, and we're going to stand with the Christians.
That's right.
You think how powerful that is, because that is like where Jesus prophesied. He says, you will not see me again. Did you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? And so he's saying, blessed is the church. And the church is the body of Jesus Christ. And they're saying, like, blessed is the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're standing with us. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet began to stand for Israel, pray for Israel, but also stand for them. Stand for them by supporting, connecting, doing whatever you can do. And, of course, by standing with VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, you're staying with Israel. I mean, we're constantly, we're talking about what just happened in Israel just on an earlier program, because we want to keep you informed, because ever how goes Israel, so goes the church.
Right.
Well, talk to us, man. We want to talk about hunger, because the hunger for, this is what, if you want to know, what is the key ingredient that moves the heart of God? And some people say, well, it's faith. Faith is the only thing that moves God. But it's actually faith in God. It's not just faith in faith.
Right.
It's the fact of wanting to be with God and God with you. And it's like this hunger for just more of him. But who doesn't want to be around somebody who wants to be with him? Can you imagine? Okay, yeah, come on over. You know, that's some people treat God that way. But just being hungry for more of him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Are you hungry?
I'm hungry.
Talk to me.
You know, I've just been really stirred, and the Holy Spirit has just led me to just thinking about so many of the awesome things, how God used Paul. I mean, we've talked about it many times. He wrote pretty much half the New Testament, right?
But I mean, Paul's an apostle for those of you.
Right, yeah. Right. And but the thing is, though, you know, we talked about he was Saul beforehand. He talked about, you know, Jesus, the organizer.
He wasn't Saul, but he actually had a name. His name was Saul.
Right. His name was Saul, right. And just in his religious zeal was persecuting the church.
Killing them.
And on the road to Damascus, God just shined the light and brighter than the noonday sun. Mm-hmm. And he was blinded immediately.
On his way
on
to
his
persecute
way,
the church with a
right,
letter from right. God's folks, supposedly. He's going to go and hurt and harm more of the
right.
church, and he's headed that way, and then wow,
yeah,
yeah,
and he hears it says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's immediate response was, "Lord," and it's just
right.
amazing. It's just like he knew who it was that was speaking, and it immediately,
right?
He knew,
right?
And what has so stuck out to me?
There's nothing like being blinded for 3 days that gets you like, does anybody know where Damascus is at?
Yeah.
Do you know where Damascus is at?
You're going to begin to assess, okay, what is it that I've been doing?
Yeah,
you're
right,
going to find
right.
out real quick, okay, maybe that right. wasn't the right motives.
Which, by the way, it shows you, too, that, you know, somebody may be just zealous for who they perceive as God.
Right.
So instead of just writing them off, why not preach to them who God is?
Mm-hmm.
Preach to them about Jesus, because
right.
once they meet Jesus, all that zealousness and energy and
be for the right God.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And what has just so stuck out to me is that in Paul's letter to Timothy, in the first chapter, he writes, and this is in 1 Timothy verse 1 or chapter 1 verse 15, he says, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And that has so just, I have been just meditating on that, because you look at so many of the awesome things. I mean, in a a later chapter, I can't remember the specific scripture, but he talks about basically all the things that he's done, shipwrecked and beaten and stoned and all the things he's done and the religious zeal that he's done before. And he's just like, but I consider it all dung.
Dung, yeah.
Dung. Poo.
Because I just want to know him.
Right.
And what I love about that is that when you look at before that verse and after that verse, Paul does such an awesome job of just sharing, no, I've done all this, but I want you to remember that it is the grace of Jesus that he found me faithful to be a servant for him. Mm-hmm. And it has just got me to just thinking about if you really, I mean, when you look at that road to Damascus encounter in Acts 9, it's like...
Which is in Syria.
Yeah. And it's like, think about the reality that Paul was blinded for 3 days.
And he couldn't see.
He could not see. That he had to have someone lead him by the hand. Mm-hmm. And you can see this in Acts 9, chapter 9. It says that for 3 days, Saul was blind and did not eat or drink anything. And I think about that, and it's just like, this is just absolutely just wrecking me because I'm like, and the Holy Spirit even said to me, he wasn't blind. Granted, yeah, he could not see the things of the world, but I was showing him his heart. Mm. And that is just really wrecking me because...
Think about that. Here you were persecuting God.
Yeah.
You thought you were doing God a favor, right? Mm-hmm. Then you find out I was hurting God. And not only that, he took it personally and said, why are you kicking against me? Why are you persecuting me? And then, like you're saying, and then... His ability to see was shut down for 3 days. So you're pondering, oh my God, I just met God. And the last thing I saw, I was in my Mercedes headed to Damascus and had a hit list from the temple that I was going to take out some Christians. And the last thing I remember is looking at the hit list, looking at the satellite GPS system. obviously not. But just think about it. The last thing he saw was his evilness.
Right. And his intent of what his motives were.
Yeah. And it's like, of all the things. And now you can imagine you put a blindfold on, you start getting introspective, is what you're talking about, right? You're mm-hmm. sort of thinking about all this. It's like, man, I'm so bad. Mm-hmm. I am the chiefest mm-hmm. of sinners. I mean, I'm surprised he even talked to me. Oh, it's over now because obviously I'm blinded. So it must be over for me. I mean, wouldn't you think that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's just really changing me because you look at just the awesome exploits of how God used Paul, but it's because Saul first went through that encounter. And that was the amazing thing is, you know, we were talking about this. It's just like, and to know that Jesus still loved him.
Right.
After had that
plans
encounter.
For him.
Had, yeah. I've got a all plan for
but
your
But he didn't
life.
Know it yet. He's still blinded.
Exactly.
You know what he's thinking about. You know, and he had to be clear melancholy. You know what I'm saying? To do that kind of stuff.
You want this life of
he
all the things I've done?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like to...
I'm in trouble now. Exactly. Just hide me. Where am I at? Put me over here.
He's gonna hit me with a ruler.
I'm blinded.
He's just waiting to do me in. But he's just like, no, I love you. I've got a plan for your life. That wrecks... His whole paradigm of religion and doing all these things is just like, wait a minute. Of all of these, where I've been at the last 3 days, you love me now? Love me in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
And think about this, though. Think about it. While he was going through all those emotions prior to, you know, him, this Christian man showing up on the talk to pray for him, you know, he's sitting here thinking, I mean, this has got to be terrible. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And then finally, God's going to send a man to him to pray for him. I'm going to show you some things you must suffer for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, whoa, you want to use me? I am the chiefest. I am the worst of sinners.
Yeah.
I'm the worst. Mm-hmm. And so then he says, by the way, he was the worst. So all those false doctrines saying you can be the worst sinner.
Yeah.
That's not what he's saying. He says, I was the worst. And he said he did it so that God can actually prove that has mercies. Mm-hmm. That if he can save me, I mean, think about it. Yeah. If he can save Pat. No, I'm really seriously. You know, if he could save Steve, if he could save me, I mean, think about it. That's all of us. If you're thinking right now that God can't use you, save you, he loves you, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is there's so much of that. There's such a false gospel being shared. It's just like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm a good person. And it's like, if you try to live your life apart from Jesus, you are no different than a murderer or a just the wicked, so many of the evil things that can be done. You're the same. You would be going to the same hell.
Yeah, just with less luggage.
Less things done, but it's just like, yeah. It's still apart from Christ, and that's where it's just like, I am Paul.
Yes.
I am Paul.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is just seeing that connection so often.
Or Saul.
Any one of them.
Yeah.
I've always seen that connection, and I would always pray, you know, God, let me see what Paul saw. And I would always have that perspective of, if you read Revelation 1, John has that perspective in the fullness of Jesus. He fell at his feet as though dead. Mm-hmm. That's what I always thought when I would say, let me see what Peter saw. Right. Let me see what, so you know, the endless list of so many godly men and women that God has used before our time. Let me see what they saw. But it's just like the Holy Spirit is saying, no. If you want to see what Paul saw, I'm going to show you your heart. Because at that moment, it's that remembering moment. It's just like, okay, each of us remember that first encounter when we said, I need Jesus. And we made that decision, that salvation moment, because we understood what was in our heart. We understood the sin in our life. We understood, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need Jesus.
I'm bad. Jesus is good.
Yes.
I need good.
And the thing is, though, it doesn't have to stop there.
Right.
And the amazing thing is, as this is just continuing, the Holy Spirit's even shown me that same journey that he took Peter on. Peter was so hungry for Jesus. He says, yeah, I can do it. And Jesus was even speaking to him. He's like, no, actually, you're going to deny me. And Peter was like, no, I wouldn't do that. And it's just like, Jesus knew Peter's own heart when Peter didn't even know his heart.
Right.
And it says in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, and John, it talks about Peter denying Jesus, and he wept bitterly for 3 days. The same amount of time that Paul
was
looking at his own heart.
Wow.
But what is really just absolutely wrecking me is that their journey afterwards, that the love of Jesus for both Peter and Paul did not waver. It didn't change.
Right.
He knew who they were. It's just that they were finding out who they were.
Yeah. Right.
And you...
Which proves how good God is.
The more we look at who we are,
the more we see how good he is.
Yes. Wow. And it's just really changed me. And you can read about this in John 21, is that, you know, we were talking about this morning, is that imagine the last thing that Peter does, and Peter is one of the disciples when Jesus walked. He denies Jesus. Jesus is basically getting lied on. Judas is going through all the things that he's going through for some silver. And Jesus is killed, crucified.
Right.
Imagine the weekend that Peter is going through. It's over. He's dead. What am I going to do? And you look at in John 21, Peter is fishing. He's like, I guess I'll go back to fishing.
Yeah, go back to what? If you don't know where to go, go back to what?
What's he know?
Yeah.
You know.
And Jesus shows up on the side of the sea where he's fishing. And it's John and Peter in the boat. And he says, it's the Lord, because Jesus called out to him and he says, throw your net on this side. Mm-hmm. And they recognized who Jesus was. And Peter just abandons everything, jumps out of the boat and swims to Jesus. And it says the boat's about 100 yards away. And to me, that is just showing me, it's just like he went to the depths of his own heart and Jesus was still there. And that's where it's just like, God, I want to see what they saw.
And God had a plan for
them.
Once they were willing to look at themselves.
Yes. If we're willing to go to the depths of what is in our own heart and allow Jesus to take us there, we're going to see Jesus in such an awesome way and allow us and allow God to use us like Paul was used, like Peter was used. But we've got to go there. We've got to be willing to say, I got some things in my heart that I don't even know that's there, but Jesus is still loving us.
We've got to talk about more about this. We'll go back from the break. This is awesome.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Dad, you've got a special role in your daughter's life. With Focus on the Family Minute, this is John Fuller. Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how you can communicate your love to your daughter in a way that she feels it.
He affirms her femininity, number one.
He affirms the fact that she's a little girl, you know, and he takes time to listen to her. Now, women use 2.5, 3.5 times the number of words that we men use in a given day or week. With women, you got to be patient. You have to listen. They have a need to talk, to share. Most men aren't real big on that. Most men thrive on arm's length relationships. But the last thing your daughter needs from you, gentlemen, is an arm's length relationship.
It may be uncomfortable. Okay, it will be uncomfortable, but you can connect with your little girl, and it'll be worth the effort. Learn more about that daddy-daughter relationship from Dr. Lehman today on FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear His voice and obey Him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear His voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear His word. We need to get to know His voice better, be absolutely resolved to know His voice better, and we need to get better at obeying His voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study His word, that you'll understand He always rescues His people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to His plan. You have to know Him. You have to understand how to hear His voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. When God begins to do something, He establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of fact, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, you know, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking...
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross and begin to say, you know what? It's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related,
rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill, that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ. You know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement. But you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program. We're talking about hunger. Hunger moves God. And Steve is sharing with us about his experience. When I think about, you know, when you're talking, you know, Steve, about, you know, to know what's in our heart. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the men and women that have been used by God, one consistent theme rides throughout all that is pain, rejection, mm-hmm. isolation, and a release from all the ties that bind. And they're just saying, all God, all the time, whatever. And quite often, if you look, I think about Mariah Etter. I mean, she lost 6 children before she said yes.
Wow.
You know, I think about, you know, Amy Simple McPherson, the stuff that she went through in her life. I think about a Dowie, and I think about John G. Lake, whose family turned totally against him, didn't want anything to do with it. They went to Canada. Now here he is touching the world, you know, for the Lord, and the enemy turns his family against him. And the price of knowing him. And this is what's really, because you think about Paul, you know, wanting to be Paul. Paul was so Jewish and such a Pharisee that when he did get saved, the Christians didn't want anything to do with him because they were scared of him.
Right.
But he was such a Christian that the Jews didn't want anything to do with him because he betrayed, they thought, his faith. And the whole thing is like, Are you willing to live isolated in the context of those who just are buying into whatever to be loyal to the bridegroom, to be just inundated with a passion for love for him? Mm-hmm. But what comes with it is it starts weeding folks out of your life, and you're just so shocked. It's like, but you talked about Jesus your whole life. Why now would you not? This is him.
Yeah.
We prayed for rain. It's raining. You know, why? You know, that type of thing. And it's like, oh my goodness. Because when Paul was in jail, he was in jail alone. When he was in jail, he had to ask Timothy, would you bring me a coat? It's cold in here and nobody else has come to visit me. Would you bring me a coat? But yeah, he wrote half of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. He talked about the blessings and the, I mean, you think about this. It's like, the thing about it is when you break off your concerns in regards to the world and regards to what man might think and realize the sad thing about it is that when you go all in for God, you find out who wasn't in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing of all is when you find out the ones that you want so bad to go after God and to love God, as they walk away or they settle somewhere in the context of I'm fine with this religion, but in regards to, you know, following Jesus and preaching about him and telling people, putting his name on my armband,
right?
You know, I mean, how many people you can really find out what's in someone's heart when you put, you know, God's name on their wrist, right?
Sure can.
And, it's just amazing how it's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? And this is where people really, or they're doing, they really have a fear. They're trying to please men, and they don't even know it. But when you put God on the outside of their life, and you know where they have to wear God, then they start realizing. They're just convicted. It's like, oh my goodness, I really wasn't that. I wasn't that loyal. It's sort of like, you know, telling a wife, you know, I want you to wear this wedding ring. And she says, I don't want to wear the ring. Everybody will know I'm married. Mm. You know, or telling the husband, you know, you're going to wear this wedding ring. And, it, you know, and he goes, I don't want to wear it. So every single day he tells her, baby, I love you. I mean, you are numero uno in my life. Mm-hmm. And he takes his ring off and he leaves it on the dresser. And then he goes out and he mingles in society. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's going to say, I got issues with this.
Right.
I got issues with this. You know why? Because in his heart, that particular story, in his heart, he's not loyal to his, he's not truly loyal to her. Mm-hmm. Right. He doesn't want to be seen as someone that's his, her husband. And she didn't want to be seen as someone who's, that he's her husband, spouse. And so when you won't wear the wedding ring for Jesus, right, when you won't put on a simple shirt that says, I mean, I'm not into shirts myself, but just anything, it's just, uh-huh, you're so convicted. We've seen a particular attorney that was just freaking out when he put Jesus on his arm. And it changed his life because he decided to put Jesus in his heart. But I've seen others that, you know, God rescues them and they say, yes, I want to put an armband on that says God. Mm-hmm. And, but all of a sudden when they get rescued and then they start pulling the armband off, pushing the Bible aside. And it's like, no, truly to be a Paul, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To be that Peter is like, you know what Peter said? This is what Peter said. He said, I am willing. He says, they're going to crucify. They beheaded Paul. They cut his head off, by the way. He died. And the reports are he ran to the chopping block. Mm-hmm. But Peter, they were going to crucify Peter. This is how sold out he was. They were going to kill him by crucifixion. And he said, crucify me upside down. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want it to look like anything what Jesus did. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Crucify me upside down. So when you're talking about that, and that's that, because the price is everything.
Right.
The price is everything, but it always was everything. Jesus said, unless you give up everything, unless you measure the price, the cost, it always has been everything, but religion maybe said a lot of things that it don't have to be everything. Mm. When Jesus preached, think about this, when Jesus himself preached now, which means he did an excellent job, made no mistakes, and his doctrine was correct. When he preached, his very own disciples, the ones who followed him and who he called, when he finished his sermon, they didn't say, let's go get something to eat. This is what they said. Who then can be saved? I mean, think about that. Right. When Jesus preached, it was so convicting. It was such a righteous word that they would say, his own disciples who spent time with him and just lived their life together, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, you know, what's impossible with men is possible with God. But when you hear what's being preached in America right now, when you hear what's being preached, people are basically, you can say, who can't be saved? It's everybody, come on in. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, in the midst of all that, there may be you that's like, you know what, I don't know what's wrong with this, but I'm just hungry for more of him. I want more of God. I don't want religion. I don't want people trying to build their stuff. There's so many I's going on in the world. It's ridiculous, you know. T U V A B C in the I, the idolatry, where people they want a ministry. We've heard things like, oh, don't take my ministry. Ministry, the word ministry means servant. You're serving. There is somebody talking about. And but in the context of this, you know, just go after God. If you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. It's a promise. It's a promise and a commitment from God. And realize in these days, all the stuff that's happening, let me tell you something. Our God is in control, and this is what he's saying through all these situations with economy and wars and rumors of war and all this crazy persecution and stuff. He's saying, listen, maybe this will motivate you to say, you know what? I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to begin to abide with Jesus Christ, and we have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. If you haven't begun to abide, maybe you do know how to abide. Begin to spend time with God and spend time with those who spend time with God, because whoever you hang around, you become. Bad company corrupts good character, but let me tell you, hungry folks, hanging with hungry folks makes you hungrier.
That's right.
It makes you hungrier, and hanging with dead folks makes you deader. Find you some hungry folks, go after God, and you will not be disappointed.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved. Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
The hairless man.
The hairless man.
Yeah.
So talk to us, man. What's been happening?
Well, interesting. You know, I don't know if you guys saw this. You know, a few programs ago, we talked about the heart bleed.
Oh, you're talking. I wanted to hear the fun stuff right now. You're going to go right into the news,
yes,
and all
man.
That.
Oh, yes, man. This is happening right now.
No,
what's fun stuff?
Goodness,
we talked about my
man.
Hair. We've talked about. Right. What else have we talked about?
Well, is your mic turned around?
My
right
mic is turned back
okay.
Right.
Oh, did you know that?
You know,
that we were trying. We thought we had huge
Rosie,
issues.
Rosie.
Thank you for everybody that prayed.
Rosie.
We figured out what it was. That somehow John had his mic turned around
backwards.
Who did that?
I don't know.
The producer.
You talk on this end of the mic, not that end of the mic.
Well, hey, I got to check with the producer. On that.
Yeah,
that was funny, man. That's what I was. I thought you were just going right into the news. And
absolutely.
All that kind of stuff. Did you know that it's records indicate, according to the FloridaJewish.com reports, that in 1763, the first recorded Jew in Florida came to Pensacola in 1763. It's
wow.
Isn't that amazing? That is totally,
wow,
amazing.
Totally amazing.
And from what we understand, reports are, we're finding out more details, is that Pensacola was the first place where Jews came. Mm. And to and you think it makes sense when you think about all the things that have taken place. So talk to us, man. What's
oh,
man. About the news? About the news.
So we talked about a few programs back about the virus, the heart bleed, and different things you can do to protect your computer.
Computer virus, right?
Yes. You definitely want to go to the torch and visit the app and get some of that wisdom that was shared that day. But right now there's talks about the United States is actually considering ceding World Wide Web, the internet, the oversight to other countries.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's the, like, what?
United Nations is rubbing their hands
that?
Going,
oh,
send it here.
Goodness.
Why China and Russia. You know, they've taken, trying to take Ukraine, why not just give them the internet?
Yeah. Is that nuts?
That's insane.
And so right now, I mean, even with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, we're still having some issues regarding, you know, privacy on the internet. Imagine if another country, or the United Nations, is actually running the internet. I mean, right now, China it doesn't allow all websites to be viewed on their on the internet, so their actual citizens are thinking they're looking at the computer, but they're limited on the sites they can actually see.
The United Nations doesn't even have a Bill of Rights, so
exactly.
But who would ever have thought we'd have to make that statement? But what I thought was pretty interesting about that is that the Commerce Department is the one that developed the URLs.
Commerce.
Yeah, Commerce is the one. ICANN. I had no idea that it was our Commerce Department. So it was almost like their premeditated taxation.
Oh, they already saw this coming,
they
right?
They already saw this coming. And so when you get your, you know, you pitch, you know, www.mybusinessidid.com, that when you purchase that, you get that from ICANN, ultimately. And that the Commerce Department is the one who put that together.
Wow.
When you if we turn that over, we're actually turning over our commerce,
yeah,
you know, to the United Nations or, I mean, who? But we turned over the Arab League, 500 million Muslims, you know, turned them over to Putin, to Russia. We're allowing Ukraine to be just drawn into to Russia. And the things that are happening right now is just amazing.
Yeah.
And now, if we, listen, church, if we don't wake up, if they take control of the internet, understand that's the last bastion of freedom.
Exactly.
In the world, and it's really, I'm sure it's bugging all these dictators. I know it definitely is bugging dictators in America that that you can actually, you know, come on and listen or view or watch, you know, a perspective that you agree with. And that's what we really focus on with BFN TV and the daily radio program is, you know, understand the news, but what about the news behind the news? What does this really mean in the context of, well, let me tell you what this means. This means to us, and you probably have a video, maybe you're going to show, I don't know. But this means that that we're losing it. That is a way to control now. If you turn over this mechanism, then they can control through Ethernet and internet, you know, all your phones, you know, all the everything that goes into the database in regards to the wirelessness. Of the thing and everything you ever search for, all your banking.
They already know that every single thing.
But the thing about it right now, that's under the Constitution.
Exactly.
And if you move it outside from up under America, it's not going to be under the free country.
Yeah. Putin's going to be sitting in his kitchen with a laptop looking at everything.
Right.
It's like, hello.
Of course, that would be cool for it to go to Israel. You know, if you want to go. But not very seriously. They're going to turn it over to the Knesset.
I doubt it. I doubt it. There are other things on the horizon going on in Israel right now.
Literally
in the horizon. OFEC. But I want you to watch this this segment as you hear what they're reporting and how this potentially can affect all of us.
Club, Republicans in Congress are pushing the Obama administration to slow down its plan for the internet. The White House is moving to give up the administration's control of the World Wide Web.
Critics say that could be bad for free speech and even business around the world. Jennifer Wishon has the story from Washington.
America has always been the main player in managing the World Wide Web. Even conservatives who typically want to limit the role of government say it's an example of Washington doing something well.
It's very relaxed control, which is why I think we've seen the internet grow to be an incredible voice of freedom, not just in the United States, but around the world.
In the late 90s, the Commerce Department formed a nonprofit agency called the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, or ICANN, which governs the system that assigns website addresses and directs internet traffic.
We're talking about every email, every time that you search something on Google. I mean, we're talking about every transaction.
Sure, every transaction.
But following Edward Snowden's revelations about America's spying activities, the Obama administration is feeling international pressure to give away the authority to direct web traffic. Even the head of ICANN says everyone with an interest in the internet deserves a voice in the management of it as equal partners. But the big question is, if the internet isn't in U.S. hands, whose hands do we trust? China and Russia are waiting in the wings to fill the vacuum if the U.S. cedes control, and there's a great fear that the internet will eventually wind up under the control of a U.N. organization called the International Telecommunications Union.
It's controlled by bad actors. In fact, they've now passed already a resolution through that will allow governments to shut off websites, and that won't be a violation of human rights.
Indeed, many critics worry if another country or countries take over managing the web, it could lead to the suppression of free speech and political dissent, possibly even hurting international business over the web. Congress is considering two actions. One delays the transfer of control. Another requires congressional approval before the Obama administration can act. And there's bipartisan concern. Even former President Bill Clinton thinks the administration's plans are a bad idea.
A lot of people who've been trying to take this authority away from the United States wanted to do it for the sole purpose of cracking down on internet freedom and limiting it and having governments protect their backsides instead of empower their people.
Many Americans are also concerned. Nearly 120,000 people have signed this petition to keep the control of the internet in the land of the free. Jennifer Wishon, CBN News, Washington.
Do you want the U.S. Constitution backstopping your rights of free speech on the internet, or do you want to allow some international consortium created by Russia, China, the United States, the U.N., having that backstop? And under the U.N. Charter, there's no Bill of Rights and there's no guarantee of free speech. So if you want to get involved in this, go to ACLJ.org and you can sign that petition.
It's amazing. You're looking at the fulfillment of what's taking place in the world today. And this is what it says. Congress is considering, instead of just jumping up and going, stop.
Exactly.
Don't even think about giving away our country to. And understand, this is what, I talked about this. Guy gave me a very specific night vision about this dream, prophetic dream. And I shared it, you know, the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. You can see it. But this is what Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18 says, or 16, it says, talking about this end time beast, this person, it will force all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a URL from ICANN, a mark on their foreheads or on their right hands, so that they cannot buy or sell unless they had this mark, which is the name of the beast and the number of his name, of course, is 666. And they're just either saying that your representatives, your Congress people and your Congress senators, or Congress itself, is considering delaying the transfer. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Delaying the transfer. Even the fact that you would even think about transferring this possibility to control the world economy to an unstable world, it's just like, hello, this is like end time. Are you for us?
Right.
You want to ask the question, are you for us?
There was a period in time in America, there were things called non-negotiables. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But we're not even talking about that.
My head,
on the table.
My heart.
Right. Now, everything's negotiable. Everything's on the table. It's like, we're going over the cliff here.
Well, and it's so important because they're also considering, they said in this report with CBN, that Congress to regulate the whole aspect of it. But the thing about it is, is, well, where that the president cannot transfer the internet over to another country without congressional approval.
Mm-hmm.
They're considering this. And understand this, that matters then. You know, what values do you have when you're talking about wanting to leaders in your nation before they, you know, meet them and find out what their values are? What are your values? Do you value our Constitution?
Right.
Do you value the local businessman? Do you value the Bill of Rights? Do you value... are you going to get in office and hand our country away? Right. Are you going to come against Israel? Are you going to?
And it sounds like what you're saying. It sounds like, well, of course. Doesn't everybody? You'd be so surprised at the amount of people that don't even care about the Constitution. I mean,
they don't even know what it says.
They don't know what it says, but politicians that don't agree with, they want to change it. They want to amend it.
Right.
This is real. You know, so I was watching something with my son, and my son was like, really? You know, but there's adults that know the same way.
Before we go to break, understand this. Every congressman, every representative, every senator, every president, every governor, all these political leaders, this is what they did. They stood up, or sat, but probably stood up, held up their right hand, and they swore an oath. And you can find this oath on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. They swore an oath, and this is the oath that we expected our leaders to take from the beginning, that I will uphold the Constitution of the United States, which means you need to know it, you need to uphold it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I will defend her. I will defend it from enemies foreign and domestic, which means the last thing you need to be if you're a leader in this nation is an enemy of the Constitution, because the whole purpose was that you've been selected as a leader to defend her,
mm-hmm.
not to destroy her.
That's right.
And so we just want to encourage you to get involved and find out the values of the ones that you are maybe choosing to be a leader of your nation. And understand something like this, turning this over, is like turning over the control of the economy of the world. And understand this, you think, why would somebody so intelligent want to do that? Because this is what I personally feel. It's because whoever they want to turn it over to, they feel like they have control of those folks.
Yeah.
They're not turning it over to this person or that person because they could pull the economy out from President Putin right now. They have total control over his economy. They could crash it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that. And it could stop instantly based on reports from Pat Robinson and CBN. Where he says over and over again that all you have to do is just, you know, mess with the economy. And it's,
yeah,
all of a sudden Russia can't even afford to even do that, but they're not doing it. So the only reason smart, intelligent people would say, let's transfer all this wealth and knowledge and wisdom and gold over to some other country other than our own is they feel, or whoever's behind the scenes feel, they have total control over that particular people group,
yeah,
over that nation, and they will work through them,
mm-hmm.
which, as we know, is a Jezebelic type,
mm-hmm.
you know, type spirit that's going on. We'll be back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things because, you know, first I know that Chris had got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. a little cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm.
Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then, that wasn't me.
It was, and then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear, the next day, is like, "I just had to have one." And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff?
Oh.
So now he has one.
Mm.
Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do. And do,
normal
do,
functions.
Do, do, do.
And do.
Do, do. At least it's a little. I mean, if it's a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers and Mojo Samson, whatever the dog's name is, Puck, you know, is up for adoption.
25 cents. And he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's I don't know if it's true or not. But
it could be.
It could be.
Oh man. All this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him. He was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, that's the same here, man.
I had him on his lap, on his chest, on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What
his bags are packed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the whole thing is, it's like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your Braves. Yeah.
No, it was like, dang, got some big eyes on that thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now it's, I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, it's sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. And they have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. He's like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was intense.
Well, you weren't listening.
No, he knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2-ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like,
yeah.
Max is like, bloom, 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 jumping stuff and. What was your dog?
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco, yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know? And it did the thing. It was just like, tickle, tickle, tickle. Like, I don't know. It was just so, almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light. And it was amazing, totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's
yes.
It.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You gotta teach him while they're young.
Oh my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
He could do that like claw thing.
Oh no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said poor the Holly.
She ran Which from the pug. Holly? She ran and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. He's like, on his back.
So
that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad. It was totally fine. And now,
he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my
God. You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, that's, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay, yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here!
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. We were just speaking about, you know, what is taking place, and we're just totally amazed with the internet and how, ICANN is actually our commerce department that set that up, and they issue them, I think, for free, and they just, it's a nonprofit.
For now.
And then you can pay a small amount of money for it. Can you imagine all of a sudden, just overnight, people start getting charged, $100 for your URL.
Well, think about this. Getting charged the tax for your email. I mean, they say every time gas goes up one penny, it costs the United States Post Office millions upon millions of dollars just to deliver the mail. Mm. And so...
Well, I mean, you're talking about the internet.
Yeah.
In regards to just the URL alone. Just the URL. Because they already charge you for it. They don't charge you for any emails. So they can just overnight...
All right. Put a stamp on every one of them.
And they do this. They overnight, all of a sudden, I don't know how many there are. There's quite a few websites. That overnight, they could just double the price and create revenues for the United Nations. And all of a sudden, whoever controls the money controls the vision. And then this whole mark thing going down. And it's like, so who, in times, it looks like presently, whatever nation controls the internet will determine what's going to happen to the future of the earth. you know, of the earth.
Wow.
I mean, the internet was so significant in the Arab Spring in Egypt that one of the Egyptians named their kid Facebook. Isn't that interesting when you interpret the language? Like, wow. You named him Facebook, you know? Wow. He has his Facebook meet Google. You're right.
He's Apple.
Right, right, right. Oh, I know. This is Netscape. We had no idea it wouldn't make it.
And that's Yahoo.
Yeah, that's a Texas one. And so overnight, they could just, because they charge you money now. People don't know that. They actually, people who have websites, their URLs, they charge money for that now.
Right.
When you turn that over to the United Nations, that money would go to the United Nations. Mm. I mean, think about that. Mm. And all of a sudden, they could say, hey, let's just, and that alone will stop a lot of traffic. When people start, you know, having $1,000 for your web space and the rim. And then they can shut you down. And that's what they're talking about. The United Nations has articles now that they've proved that they can, nations can, they said it's okay for them to shut down websites. And people say, well, that's just, I don't mind that. That's because it's not your website.
Right.
You know, and the one thing, let me tell you what darkness is going to shut down. It's going to shut down light.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to shut down good deeds and that kind of thing, but it's going to shut down the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's all it wants to do anyway. It wants to control folks. And so I want to encourage you, you know, pay attention. That's why we're, thank you for tuning in to VFN TV and the TV and the daily radio program, because that's what we want to do, is give you a perspective. What does that mean? And understand this, it is not in Congress's prerogative to give away your company. That's an American company. They just can't say, you know, we're going to give away, you know, this thing that was invented, you know, in America, and they want to give it away. And say, well, they're not going to give it away. They're just going to give away the URLs and the assignment of that. Right. It's like, that's like giving away the roads that leads to your workplace. And they're giving it away. And they're talking about it. So we can pray and understand. The prayer is this. The prayer is not, dear God, keep them from giving it away. The prayer is, dear God, forgive me for the sin in my life.
That's right.
Because this is obvious. Like the man in Washington, D.C., he said, this is because of my sin and what I've done in this nation and how I didn't honor God, that this is happening. Dear God, forgive me. Cleanse me, Lord. Restore our nation back to its original intent. But understand, prophecy, if this is prophecy being fulfilled, there's no stopping it.
Mm-mm. Right.
Which I feel very strongly that there is a window of time for the church to, I mean, think about it. All this time, you could have been online for Jesus, but maybe you were online for darkness. Mm. You could have been spreading the word, and instead you were actually letting the whatever the world was doing come in over you. I mean, this is a window of opportunity that an oppressed Chinese man and an oppressive government can start a business and make a product that the world can buy, and he can be empowered. When I think of a particular man in China right now, this is a billionaire, because this is the kind of power it has to be able to, the freedom that it has, and you can do that for Jesus right now. You can take a hold of this internet and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to use it for God's glory. I'm going to begin to maybe do a blog, maybe record your testimony. A lot of things are happening on YouTube. You can do that. But just say, you know, God, we're not gonna just let it go to evil. We're going to use it for good. Mm-hmm. And think about it. There's so many different ways it can be used. And one way is to begin to just find out what's happening in the context of the world. You don't have to travel the world. You can sit there in about 5 minutes, and you can, as we were talking about what was taking place in a dream the Lord had given Steve, were able to immediately go to South Africa, Johannesburg, and go exactly to the particular company that God was talking about in the dream, because of the internet's making that available. Right. Now, if they start charging you for it, which means they're going to regulate it. And one way they regulate things is by charging money for it. Once they start charging money for something, then that's when they can regulate it. Like, for example, healthcare. Once they made it a tax, then they can regulate healthcare, and it's happening right before us. That's next with the internet if we don't pay attention. Dear God, forgive our sins. Stop this nation from being turned over. Lord, we ask you for revival. End abortion, sin revival. Send a second great awakening, third great awakening, and a second Azusa Street. Dear Lord, we ask you for it in Jesus' name.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.